Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 10. In verse 22, the Word of God says, "Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Let us draw near, how? With, there is a mechanism, with a full assurance of faith. If I do not have a full assurance of faith, Hebrews 11:6 tells me that I will not draw near. But in a full assurance of faith, I will draw near. Having my heart, my frame of reference, sprinkled from an evil conscience. It doesn't say that my frame of reference is sprinkled from evil. But it means that it's sprinkled from the consciousness of that which is evil. From an evil conscience. We live in an evil world system. It is impossible for us to be sprinkled from evil. But our frame of reference can be completely cleansed from any and all effects of the world system. And so we come with a full assurance of faith, which is the result of a pure conscience. If I do not have a pure conscience, I will not have the full assurance of faith, and as a result, there will be parts of my life where I refuse to draw near. I won't have the capacity. Things like fear will separate me. But when my conscience is sprinkled, cleansed from evil, from the awareness of evil, then it's not a problem for me to draw near because I have faith in full assurance. There's no question in my mind. There's no hesitation. There's simply assurance, which doesn't just cause me to draw near, but to embrace. And this becomes an easy, natural condition for the spiritual man. So it's a spiritually natural condition. As opposed to religion, which is a naturally spiritual condition. You see the difference? One involves striving, and one involves a relaxed mental attitude. Alright, now, Leviticus chapter 17. The Word of God says, "The life of the flesh is in the blood." Let me say it again, this is important. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. Often we hear about atonement, and often we hear about the life of the flesh. But for some reason, very often we don't put the two portions of the same verse together, same portion of Scripture, the same thought together. The life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it for you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes an atonement for your soul. Now here's the thing. This is the blood of the one new man in Ephesians 2:15. The enmity has been removed. The partition has been broken down. The separation is gone. Why? Because the life of the flesh is in the blood. And God had given it for us to make a full atonement for our souls. The experience of this is found in the oneness of the new man. Not in the newness of the new man. That is the result of the oneness of the new man. The experience that we have of the life that is granted to us by the blood is not the life that was given to us by our natural blood, but by the blood of Christ, which flows in the one new man. Now, we understand the cleansing of the blood in Revelation 1:5. We preached an entire series on this a little over a year ago. However, what we have not mentioned, and this is fresh, is that blood isn't only what has covered us in our oneness with Christ by spilling upon the Savior. Not all the blood left the body of the Savior. When the centurion pierced his side, blood came out. There was still blood remaining in the body of the Savior. This was absolutely vital. But there was blood that covered the body because we were one with Him on the cross. We were crucified together with Him. And with Him we were covered by His blood as our sins went upon Him. But there is another component. The blood in the body is the life of the flesh. The life of God that Galatians 2:20 tells us that we possess is possessed by us through His blood within the one body that is the one new man, as the two were made one. So while we have a natural physical DNA based body made of the dust of the ground, that is only a partial truth of the full reality. The full reality is that the new creature of 2 Corinthians 5:17 is the one new man of Ephesians 2:15. The one new species, new kainos, brand new, newly made, new in species, never been seen before. The God-man was brand new. God created all things that were at creation, but the God-man was established from the foundation of the world when the works were finished, but realized in the manifestation of Christ as a man on earth in my body as He indwells me. This is our condition as believers. That Christ indwells us. He is our head, we are His body, the same body. I wish I could get it into the frame of reference of every believer that the head and the body are one organism. There is no separating the head from the body. They are the one organism, and that one organism possesses blood that is the life of the flesh, and the blood was Christ. This is why we can have His life. This is why Galatians 2:20 is reality. Because the blood was Christ. Not just that we were covered in the blood, but it is in us as Christ is in us. Now, consider something and you'll understand. This is not some strange new doctrine. This is a very practical application of a foundational doctrine. What is in the blood that it should be the life of the flesh? For our physical body, just like so much about our human lives, is a type of what it means to be the body of Christ. In that physical body, we have blood that enables the body to live. That blood contains oxygen. However, oxygen is absolutely toxic. It will kill you. What? We need to breathe. What do you mean it will kill me? It will kill you. This is why you put hydrogen peroxide on a cut to get rid of the bacteria, because oxygen is toxic. And it will kill you. And if it wasn't for the fact that the cells of your body have peroxidase in these little organelles called peroxisomes, then you would be killed by every breath that you inhale. If you didn't have that enzyme to deal with the oxygen would absolutely wipe you out. If you gave somebody, let's say you have a person in the hospital and they go on oxygen, that's not pure oxygen. If it was pure oxygen, they would experience oxygen toxicity and they would die. They have to mix it with nitrogen in order to dilute the oxygen into levels that the peroxidase can handle. Now here's the thing. How is it that something toxic is in fact the life of the flesh? We'll get to that. Let me establish the illustration and then we'll give the application. We inhale oxygen. Our cells absorb it. What is the oxygen used for? The oxygen is used as a part within an organelle called the mitochondria. I'm sure you've heard of that, many of you anyway. That is the place where the body converts the energy stored in sugar molecules into an energy molecule called ATP, adenosine triphosphate. High energy bonds in this molecule. This is where the body's usable energy is stored and how it is transported within the body. Really, within the cells of the body. It's ATP. Maybe you've heard of it, I don't know. Maybe you haven't, maybe you have. In the production of ATP, yeah, three basic stages. This is not a biology lesson, so I'm not going to go into the three stages. But at the last stage, something called the electron transport chain, which is found in an inner membrane contained within the mitochondria, electrons are transported along this electron transport chain from one molecule to the next. They are necessary to facilitate the movement of hydrogen across that membrane. You need a gradient. In other words, you need a high concentration. And then the hydrogen acts, if you will, as water on a water wheel, a mill. And it causes a flow through a molecule. I am giving you a biology lesson called ATP synthase. That molecule turns, and the turning is caused by the flow of hydrogen atoms, much like water turns a water wheel. That turning, that mechanical energy is then converted into chemical energy as it facilitates the formation of the bonds found in ATP. Three phosphate bonds. The third one is of the highest energy, the second one is next, and the third one is of the least energy. The energy comes from the turning of this molecule. Okay. However, none of this works if there is no flow of electrons. If there is a flow of electrons, you have the pumping, if you will, of hydrogen, which is like elevating the water somehow to get it to a place where it can turn the water wheel. But if you can't pluck the electrons off of the chain, then the whole thing backs up. It's like stopping the dam. Okay, you dam the whole thing up, you get no flow. Oxygen receives those two electrons, and it's two electrons at a time. Oxygen atoms receive the two electrons, and they allow for the energy production to take place. So you have a toxic molecule, O2, that receives electrons. And the result of the receiving of those electrons, so that electrons can flow, hydrogen pump, gradient or concentration difference established, flow of hydrogen, ATP synthase turns, energy molecules are produced. Okay, simple enough. Now, if you have those receptor molecules, the O2, at the end of that electron transport chain, they will pick off the electrons after they finish on the chain. That leaves room for the next electrons to go through. So you're constantly cycling this through. You know what the result is? Water. It's called metabolic water. By the way, about 35% of your water is metabolic water. Now, you have something toxic that becomes something vital. Interesting, isn't it? Becomes vital in its effect in the cell, and becomes vital as water in its effect in your body. Metabolic water is extremely important. Here's the thing. Galatians 5:6. Faith is energized by love. The heart of God causes the flow of the love of God. In our analogy, the energy producer, oxygen, love. Love energizes the production of the cell. We are the cells. Okay, faith is that production. How does this work? Word. Right word. So we have this situation. In 2 Corinthians 3:6, in the B part of the verse, the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Oxygen kills. But when there is a proper effect on the oxygen, it becomes life-giving. The letter kills. But when there is a spirit effect on the letter, it becomes life-giving. That's how it works. Simple as that. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. We need the letter. We need the logos. But the letter by itself is a toxic condition to the believer. That's where legalism comes from. That's where self-righteousness comes from. That's where the consciousness of sin in 1 Corinthians 15:56 comes from. That's its very strength. But in the John 16:13 hands of the Holy Spirit, it becomes the very source of our lives, the energy of our lives. If you were to remove the effect of the oxygen, thereby the flow of the electron transport chain from the body, then scientists tell us you would have exactly 2 seconds of energy stored up before you die. People say, well, I can hold my breath. That's right, you can, only for a short while. Because you have trillions of cells depending on the breath you're holding. That's why you can hold your breath for such a short while. That's only because in your lungs and also in your bloodstream there is some oxygen still stored up. But when that very quickly runs out, you're dead. Now here's the other point. Years ago there was this game among teenagers. they would dive into a pool and hold their breath as long as they possibly could. And this is dangerous. And several teenagers died that way, not by drowning, but because once the energy is depleted, you can't kickstart it. In other words, you need energy to produce energy. You need a small investment of energy in order for the energy molecules to continue. This is why when your light turns into darkness, how great is that darkness? This is why if the death of Christ, if the cross becomes of none effect, there is no more death to be found. Because you need energy to produce energy. You need faith to have faith. You mix faith and you get more faith. But everyone starts with a measure of faith. And that was passed down to us also, this measure of faith. And then we grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ, means we grow in faith. Now, in Romans 7:6, we're delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, we should serve in the newness of the Spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. A person who orients themselves to the law has a very difficult time than becoming oriented to grace. And it's akin to this energy production process. Faith works by love, not by the law. And so the love of God is what allows our energy process to continue. That's where we get our kickstart. That is the investment of energy, if you will, that then results in more faith, growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ, growing in faith, growing in life. We have within us the blood of the one new man. We stand in grace in Ephesians 1:7. We have redemption through the blood according to the riches of His grace. We are the one new man. We live off the blood. How is it that I can function as the one new man? Because Hebrews 10:22 says that my conscience is sprinkled. And therefore, I have the full assurance of faith, and my body is washed with pure water. Metabolic water is pure water. You see, that which is produced in us as being the one new man, with a sprinkled conscience, is pure Word of God. Because it's the result of the Holy Spirit's work in us. And it becomes pure Word of God, only attainable through a pure conscience which was cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. In Deuteronomy 12 and verse 23, the Word of God says, "Only be sure that you eat not the blood, for the blood is the life, and you may not eat the life with the flesh." What is it saying? You don't utilize the blood in natural ways. The blood is a supernatural spiritual reality. It is not a natural provision. This is why Jesus had to kill the animals in the garden, and it was Jesus, And he had to shed blood to deal with the sin of Adam and Eve, which led to their separation. Their natural efforts at covering led to separation. They tried to, in a manner of speaking, eat the blood. Natural utilization was insufficient, and in that insufficiency, they turned to fig leaves. Don't make any mistake about it. They knew what the blood was all about. Jesus did not have to explain to them the doctrine of the blood in order to deal with their conscience when he killed the animals. They knew very well what the blood was all about. They knew very well what it meant when in Genesis chapter 3 he gave them that promise. But separation was caused by natural provision. They esteemed the blood naturally, and so they couldn't use it. You see, I esteem the blood naturally when I fail to apply it. And God says, you will not eat the blood. That is not a natural provision to be used in natural terms. My natural understanding does not apply the blood. My natural understanding will say, yes, blood, but. God is not interested in yes, blood, but. God says, you will not do that. The life of the flesh is not a natural provision. The life of the flesh is a spiritual provision only obtained through faith. Now we're back at Hebrews 10:22. You draw near with a full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. It is no longer our frame of reference that is evil. It is no longer a consciousness of sin. It is no longer a consciousness of circumstance. It is a consciousness of the finished work and the manifestation of the blood and the full effect of the blood, freeing our frame of reference to have a full assurance of faith. And there is our life. It's as simple as that. There's our life. In Titus 1:15, to the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. Why? They eat the blood. They eat the life. They think it's a natural thing. And they don't utilize it in faith. It's not natural at all. That's why it works. If it was natural, it could not have a supernatural effect. If it was natural, it could not cleanse the sin nature's effects. Couldn't deal with anything if it was natural. But then it's not the life of a man that we enjoy. It's the life of Christ. The reality of Galatians 2:20. I live, yet not I. It's the life of Christ. It comes through the blood. And the full internal effect, constantly imparting life through the cleansing continuously of my conscience. Sin is a defect in our DNA. The oneness of the new man deals with the defect, and the blood deals with its effects. So we have very much the life of Christ in us, because His blood flows through us. Cleanses our mind, cleanses our thinking, cleanses our frame of reference, cleanses our conscience, and cleanses us. See, this one new man life that we live is a very present reality, experienced through the full assurance of faith. through the Word of God's definition, as it is free to be resident in a pure conscience that draws us near to the head as the one new man. Amen.